Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ready from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Explanation of the Vedic Path, Text Number 21. Is that right? Toya virahita sadho chantu shunyaya kalpate tato sya svarta vibhamso murchitasya murmritasya cha murchitasya murmritasya cha toya virahita sadho chantu shunyaya kalpate tatosya svarta vibhamso murchitasya mitasya cha of that intelligence virahitaha deprived sadho O saintly Uddhava jantu a living creature shunyaya practically void kalpate becomes tataha consequently, asya, his, svaartha, from the goals of life, vibramsa, downfall, murjhitasya, of him who has become, like dull matter, mritasya, virtually dead, cha, and O saintly Uddhava, a person bereft of real intelligence is considered to have lost everything. Deviated from the actual purpose of his life, he becomes dull, just like a dead person. Purport. Krishna consciousness is so vital and essential. The one who has deviated from this progressive path of self-realization is considered to be virtually unconscious or like a dead person. Since every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, anyone who falsely identifies with the external body is actually unconscious of his real position. Thus it is stated, shunyaya kalpate, pursuing that which has no factual existence, is devoid of any tangible progress or benefit in life. One whose consciousness is absorbed in the non-existent becomes himself practically non-existent. In this way, the eternal living entities become fallen, lost in the ocean of material existence, and it is only by the special mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord that they can be rescued. The Lord's devotees therefore instruct the fallen people to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this process, our real consciousness and life can be quickly revived. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamahayam tadattisva padantikam mukam karoti vachalam angum nam gayate girim yat kripatamaham vande sri gurum dinatarinam. Vishaya Vinivartante. Jayato. Vishaya Pumsam. So Krishna is explaining here a process that he also outlines in the Bhagavad Gita. By meditating on the objects of the senses and making them desirable, one becomes attached to them. From such attachment comes lust. From lust comes quarrel, slightly different variation on the same theme. Because there's competition for the objects of the senses, and attachment to the gross material energy is characterized by lust, anger, calm, grog, lobha, greed, illusion, madness, matsarya, envy. And this envy and greed causes quarrel. Kaler durvishaha krodhas. From quarrel arises anger, followed by the darkness of ignorance. This is a general description of what happens to the consciousness of those who become too absorbed in the external energy without realizing one's original spiritual position, which is situated within the heart. And as a result of that absorption in the external, the Bahiranga Shakti, right? Lord Chaitanya explains to Rupa Goswami how the living entity is originally spiritual in nature, but is described as being tatastha shakti, which means marginal potency. In other words, we can become influenced by the spiritual energy or we can become influenced by the material energy. Under the influence of the spiritual energy, one's aware of one's original spiritual identity. But under the influence of the material energy, what that original spiritual focus, that spiritual identification, gets covered, and one becomes absorbed in the external activities of the senses, the objects of the senses, the mind's absorption in the objects of the senses, and forgetfulness of one's original spiritual condition is prominent. And as Krishna is saying here, a person who's fallen into that unfortunate condition of identifying with their mind and senses, you know, the external energy, that means the working senses, the karmendriya, and the knowledge acquiring senses, the jnanendriya, the mind, the sense within, and then an intelligence that's clouded with material consideration, with material contamination. So there's no thought or no pursuit of any spiritual activity, but it's all complete absorption in things of the mind and the senses. And as it's explained in the Bhagavatam, the names. The mind becomes absorbed in all of these things. And Krishna's saying here to Uddhava, a person in that state of consciousness is considered to have lost everything. Just like there's a Christian saying, what profiteth a man if he... I think Prabhupada quotes this in the Bhagavad Gita. What profiteth a man if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? So real identity, real personality, real individuality is manifest in our spiritual position. That's the constant, the kutastha, or the constant. Otherwise, if we're just absorbed in everything of the material world, then what is it? It's just everything's in a state of flux. There's nothing that remains permanent. And so the natural condition in the material world is just to feel lost. That's a natural position, is to be bewildered and lost, because there's nothing permanent. It's always changing. Always changing. Na sato vijite bhavo, na bhavo vijite sataha. So the nasat, that which is not permanent, just changes and keeps on mutating, morphing into different stages of life. Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudashanam. And all that one can see in such a state of existence is trouble. Or if there's some pleasure, it's the momentary illusory feelings of elation when one happens to be on top of the wave. But then you come back down again, bang, with a crash. Abrahma bhavana loka puna avatina arjuna. Krishna says, from the planet of Lord Brahma down to the planet, the existence of the lowest of the germs, in all those states of being, one has to experience repeated birth and death. So, you know, when you think about it, whatever one acquires at any particular point in time, it's destined to be taken away in the material realm. So therefore, and not only that, one has no sense of, real sense of self, of pure spiritual existence, of identification with one's actual self. It's lost completely. And yet that's the most valuable possession, to know oneself, to be satisfied in one's personal existence is the thing of value that people are looking for. People are looking for satisfaction and happiness in themselves. But they can't find it, because all they're looking for is something external to themselves, thinking that's going to make them happy, but all it is a very temporal existence. Flickering temporal existence. So that kind of intelligence that is focused on purely material existence and material acquisition is considered to be no intelligence at all. And so it says here, lost everything. Virahitaha toya virahita sadho, deprived of intelligence. Jantu shunyaya kalpate. Shunya means void. He becomes practically void. He's got nothing. Not very enthusing, this state of consciousness. Tata asya svarta vibhramsa murchitasya mitasya cha. So one whose consciousness is absorbed in dull matter, as far as his spiritual life is concerned, he's dead. Right? Dead. you know, depending upon the modes of material nature that one has acquired, then he acts in a particular way. And, you know, in a mode of ignorance, behaviour is just foolish. In a mode of passion, he just creates distress for himself. And in a mode of goodness is his sense of happiness. The acquisition of knowledge. But if it is not the acquisition of pure spiritual knowledge, and even that's entangling and just keeps one in the cycle of birth and death. So therefore, the devotees want to wake people up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how Lord Chaitanya, when the sun's rays rise over the horizon, just starting before the sunrise, then Lord Chaitanya and his associates would go out into the streets and have Harinam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how they're calling out, Jeev Jago, wake up, sleeping souls. Not only are they asleep in bed, but they're also asleep to themselves. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days chasing the objects of the senses. When will you wake up and worship the darling of Mother Yashoda? This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer. It's the first song in Gitavali, I think. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? So the devotees also, following the footsteps of Mahaprabhu, go out and try to wake people up. Maybe not a good idea to go out now and have kirtan. They'll get woken up. But you know, as Krishna says, one shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but one should encourage them in acts of devotion. So we have to let them wake up a little bit first. otherwise they just get agitated. This is the process, hearing the holy name for those who are deeply covered over. When Lord Chaitanya asked, was it Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas Thakur or the other way around? Can't remember. Anyway, the question was, how will the unconscious living entities, because there are conscious living entities, but then there are so many unconscious living entities in the stones, in the bricks, in the inanimate forms. So the question was, how will they be liberated? And the reply was, simply by hearing the vibrations of the holy name. And in fact, I think, was it Lord Chaitanya mentioned that, you know, the echo of the holy name off of the inanimate objects is their chanting. Right? So when we chant Hare Krishna, then the sound of the mantra echoing off of the walls liberates the unconscious living entities in the bricks and in the mortar and in the... What to speak of those who are in the other moving and non-moving species of existence. They get to hear the holy name, they get to, if they're very fortunate, chant Hare Krishna. And in this way then the dormant Krishna consciousness that exists within everybody gradually gets an opportunity to wake up. So it's mentioned here, the Lord's devotees therefore instruct the fallen people to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is to wake people up, but generally they're very dull, and so they have to have this, they have to have continual exposure to the sound vibration of the Maha Mantra in order to gradually revive their Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami gives the example of a person in material consciousness as being much like a person who's been bitten by a snake. Before a person dies, after being bitten by a snake, they go into a coma. And so they appear unconscious, but actually they're not dead. And so the similarity is that both these personalities can be cured of the snake bite. One is the snake bite of material existence, the other is the snake bite of the serpent. Both can be reawakened by the chanting of appropriate mantras. It's an art that's unknown in the Western world. It's how to cure people of disease by the chanting of mantra. But those who are expert in the process can reawaken a person bitten by a snake by the chanting of the appropriate mantras. And similarly also, a person who's in a comatose condition, spiritually comatose, can have their original spiritual consciousness reawakened through being exposed to the chanting of the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra is so effective, it's like a medicine. That even if you're not aware of its potency, still if you take it, it'll cure you. So therefore, in order to, first of all, we have to keep ourselves awake, right? So therefore, we chant every day, 16 rounds every day. That's to keep ourselves awake. Even then, we see sometimes devotees chant 16 rounds, they still fall asleep, fall into Maya. But we're conditioned souls. And as a result of that conditioning, we have a tendency to fall into or under the influence of the material energy. And the whole practice of sadhana, bhakti, is to keep ourselves awake to our spiritual identity. It's a constant, so it requires a constant practice. Shanai, shanai, uparamet, Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The yogi, by gradual advancement, following the process of sadhana, gradually reawakens one's dormant love for Krishna. So just as the devotees have to keep exposing, we have to keep purifying our consciousness, and similarly also, in order to help others make progress, we have to also give them an opportunity to hear the life-giving elixir, if you like, Amrita of the Holy Name. Not only the Holy Name, prasadam, even book distribution, these activities help reawaken people's lost, dormant Krishna consciousness. So that's our business. Our business is to, first of all, wake ourselves up, or stay awake, and then wake up others. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission. That's our business. Our family business is to basically to, one way or another, give people an opportunity to reawaken their original condition of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we see the Bhagavatam describes the activities of those not aware of Krishna consciousness as just the activities of dead bodies, flapping dead bodies. Because, you know, just absorption in the material energy itself is just, is unconscious, it's dull, inert matter. It has no life of its own. The only reason that there's a semblance of life is because the spirit soul is present. But when a person is unaware of their spiritual identity and their activities are simply absorbed in material activities, then they're considered to be dead. Consciousness is dead. And in this day and age, there is only one process, basically, for reviving that original spiritual consciousness. Harinama, Harinama, Harinami, Vakevalam, Kalo, Nasjeva, 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 Gatir, Anyata. So we can see how essential it is that we remain very focused and very fixed on this revival of our original spiritual identity, and how it is essential for others that we're also awake and Krishna conscious, so that we can give this life-giving Amrit to others. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Shumar.
You said that Krishna consciousness is the only way
we
can
realize anything. Yeah, so chanting Hare Krishna actually. You believe them.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the power of bad association. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. How's that sound? And avoid their bad association. And you know, we do sometimes have to wait for the right person to come along. I was talking to Rami Atma in Perth the other day, and he was telling me that people generally respond very often in in reciprocation or in relationship to how we deal with them. So depending on our enthusiasm and our conviction, we'll be able to influence others. So if we're strong in our practice and in our conviction, then we can influence them. Otherwise, the opposite will happen if they're stronger than us. So, you know, one needs to be spiritually and sensually, even from a so-called materially, strong if we're to have an effect on others. If we have an effect on others, then we have to be Krishna conscious ourselves and have that depth of conviction. Now that will come automatically because it's natural for it's natural for the living entity. It's natural. These qualities are natural Krishna conscious person's character, nature. It's natural. And, you know, we will meet dullards. Right? That's a given. But there will also be others who are less inclined, and so consequently we can bear a positive approach to their situation, we can influence them.
I have a couple of questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, I come from a Shaivite background in India.
Yeah.
In that tradition, they initiate women also with sacred thread and the Shivalinga.
Yeah.
And in Hare Krishna tradition, in ISKCON tradition, the women are not initiated with sacred thread, is it not?
Yeah.
Why is that? Haven't they got soul in their body?
I don't know, you'd have to have a chat with Prabhupada about that and find out why he chose to do it that way.
Mm. Well, Prabhupada has disappeared from us.
Oh, well, it makes it a little hard then, doesn't it? Prabhupada, I don't know the answer to that question, to be quite frank with you. I don't think it really matters though. The main thing is that one becomes Krishna conscious. And obviously Prabhupada didn't see it as being important or necessary for the women to have a Brahman thread. He didn't see it as essential. He still gave them an opportunity to do service, gave them the Maha Mantra, gave them the Gayatri Mantras. He felt that was sufficient. So I think, you know, we can be satisfied with that. That doesn't mean that they can't make progress, and we know that that's not an inhibition. It doesn't stop you from making progress. So it's not essential.
Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains that God is in, Krishna is in everybody's heart.
Well, that's what Krishna says, yes.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to have a Brahman thread on it.
Right?
It doesn't have to have a Brahman thread.
Okay.
In fact, you know, the Babaji's didn't have Brahman threads. Even, you know, the Babaji's didn't have, so, you know, in one sense, you don't need a Brahman thread to be Krishna conscious.
Mm. Okay, my second question is,
yeah.
I remember you mentioning to me a few years ago, I asked you what is mind, and you said mind is that the form of matter.
Yes, well that's what Krishna says also.
Mm. Well, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, among the sense of family mind.
Yes.
So mind is a sense organ then.
Yes, it is. Yep. Subtle. It's the mind, it's the sense within.
So how come you say that it's a form of matter? So mind is a matter.
Why did I say that? Because that's what Krishna says.
Hmm.
There's para and apara prakriti. One is considered to be superior.
So which is superior, mind or the intelligence?
Well, I wouldn't. You can't say that one is superior. One is more subtle than the other.
Which one?
Intelligence is more subtle than the mind. There's the power of discrimination, whereas the mind is more is reflective. The mind reflects that which it's exposed to or with which it associates, and so therefore we find, say for example, when we're dreaming, that we get all sorts of confused combined images, because it's the mind's just reflecting its experience over many lifetimes. And you know, we can even experience things mentally that we've not even experienced physically, because the mind has this ability just to conglomerate things.
The reason why I ask about the mind is,
yeah,
the number of people suffering from mental illness is increasing day by day.
Yeah.
All over the world, not just in Australia.
Yep.
Is it a product of modern civilization?
I think it's not. Modern civilization doesn't have a monopoly on mental disturbance or mental ill health. I think it's been around for a long time.
And also, Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, the modern day scientists are analyzing the matter, and it's very futile. They are not realizing what really truth is.
Mm.
They're just analyzing the matter.
Yeah.
But Prabhupada was wearing his reading glasses. So that's contradictory. Prabhupada says that the scientists, modern day scientists, are idiots. Whereas,
rascal.
Why did he
come?
So, why did Prabhupada wear glasses then? That's product of science, isn't it? You are wearing glasses as well.
Yeah, it makes things a lot easier to read. I can't read without my glasses anymore. Well, I think what Srila Prabhupada was referring to was those persons who were saying, you know, God is dead, you know, life is made up of matter only. More or less what this verse is saying here, you know, what's being said in the purport here, that absorption in the external energy without an understanding of the spiritual substrata or basis for existence is a foolish existence. It's not looking at all of the facts, it's not appreciating the fullness of life. It's ignoring the source of life and only focusing on the external or material aspect of existence. And so Prabhupada would strongly speak against this kind of teaching or this kind of learning, so-called learning, as cheating. Because, as is mentioned here, one's consciousness simply absorbed in matter means that one is ignoring or avoiding one's original spiritual identity. So Prabhupada would, you know, call the scientists bluff. But that doesn't mean that we don't use the material energy and its products. We understand that the material energy works because of the presence of the spirit soul, and that by combining them in appropriate ways we can utilize both energies in Krishna's service and in that way make spiritual advancement. So, you know, a devotee, and Prabhupada especially, didn't, you know, just dismiss everything that was created, especially, you know, things like glasses, motor cars, microphones, recorders. You know, Prabhupada utilized all of these things because he understood the source of all of these things is Krishna. The source of all of our existence is our spiritual identity. Krishna says, "I am the seed of all existences." So we can understand that we're all coming from Krishna, and even the material energy is coming from Krishna. So therefore, why not utilize it in Krishna's service? So that's slightly different to calling the bluff of those who might teach us, actually, you're just a material product. Your existence is only material and nothing else. So, you know, we may call the bluff of the materialistic scientists, but that doesn't mean that we don't utilize the material energy or the, you know, the so-called discoveries, because they're already there, but the so-called, you know, discoveries of the scientists. Comes from Krishna, ultimately. Doesn't it? Alright, I think we should finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.